Hello and welcome to another edition of your Wednesday Wisdom. I am your host, Ralphie Martinez with Martinez Elite Fitness. I am joined today by a special guest who I will introduce here in just a moment. Today is Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. This is episode number 230. And our special guest is our oldest son, Julian. Julian, say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
That's an 11-year-old going on 12 for you. Early in the morning. We are recording this the day of release, so we're about 40 minutes before we usually send these out, and I decided that today's podcast is going to be an interview with him regarding baseball and a little bit of life, and then give you guys some perspective of the last, we're in June, and I think all this started back in like February, so the last 4 months of his life. We're in June. 4 months of baseball, how that all went and how it correlates to other things. So let me get some of these announcements out. We have, no open gym this coming Friday. Saturday, we're at the gym for Run Club and 10 round. And then Monday, we're still trying to figure out if we will have anything going on. We do have something to talk about. That's kind of the reason we may or may not have something going on, because we do want to watch the parade downtown. If you don't know, 10 a.m. the parade happens, Main Street. They shut the whole thing down, so it's a good thing to go and see and hang out. We'll see if we hold any classes or a run together or anything like that. So let's start this off. Julian, you just finished baseball yesterday. Mm-hmm. We lost our second game in the All-Stars, and I want to ask you, how was baseball for you this year? And let's start with talking about the regular season. So your A's team, how was that for you this season? Describe it to people.
It was definitely fun and frustrating. I got to meet a lot of people that became my friends, and it was just a really fun time just being out on the field and playing baseball. And before, my mom asked me before tryouts, she said, "Do you want to play baseball?" And I was very undecisive on should I play or should I not. And I kind of just went with yes, because Aiden said yes, so I was just kind of like, sure. And when it came to tryouts, I wasn't, doing good out there, but then I progressed as practices went on, and, yeah.
Okay, so to give you guys a little background, both Julian and his brother Aiden did not play for the last two seasons. The first one they missed was because COVID shut it down, and then the second time around, it was kind of like a up in the air. We may have a season, we may not. And so Tara and I decided against having them play, because we weren't sure what we were getting in, and we didn't want it to not be a waste, but not be worth the time and effort. So the tryouts that he's talking about, so we went in pretty much cold. Like, the boys didn't really do much. We didn't even really play catch all that much during this downtime. And then they went in, and both him and Aiden, didn't really hit the ball well off the machine, and both didn't take the field very well. But we got chosen for the A's because his head coach, Matt, remembered Julian. And he came running up to us. Do you remember this? When he came running up to us, we were leaving. And he comes up and he says, "Hey, is this Julian that played a couple years ago and he pitches?" He asked that question. And that's when we realized, afterwards, I told Julian, I was like, "I'm pretty sure that guy was the manager of the A's when you played on the Astros." And turns out, yes, it was. And it turned out to be actually the best rundown question I've ever had, because of the season that these boys were led to by this coaching staff. I'm going to ask you, buddy. So you had said, and one of my things here, one of my notes is, so from start to finish, you notice the difference of you as a player, right? So he went in, like he said, he was undecided if he wanted to play. And he was, I would say, with him explaining it to me and his mom, 95% sure he did not want to pitch. Did not. He did not want to pitch. And I remember feeling bummed out when he told me this. And then, you know, fast forward 4 months, and he's probably top three. I mean, I'm biased because I'm his dad. I would say top pitcher in the league. And I'm going to explain why I think that here in a second. But you notice the difference in yourself from the beginning to the end, right?
Yeah.
And do you think that is because, why do you think you got better as you went along? Like, what would you explain to people? Like, when I started from when I finished, what made that transformation, do you think?
Hard work during practice and just throwing the ball around in the house or outside. That's what I would do. We would play with Aiden and Kelsey, throw a strike to where I would just throw a, like, pop-it ball and just throw it to Aiden, and Aiden would be the catcher. And practices kind of helped along with that too, but, you know, that's pretty much it.
Just practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps a whole lot, practicing at something. So correlating that to the gym, and I will do this throughout. So you hear my son, who's 11 years old, realizing that at the beginning of this season, he maybe wasn't as confident. He didn't, you know, feel that great out there grounding balls, hitting the ball because of a 2-year layoff. So think about that. When you join a gym, and a lot of you, like, when you first come in, you're like, oh yeah, I used to do this in high school and that in high school. I used to play this sport and that sport. And when you say that, a lot of times you're talking about when you were like 10 fucking years old. And here you are, a late 20s, mid 30 year old person. Like, that is universes ago, right? And just like for him, 2 years was a universe ago. And him practicing, working hard, doing things that didn't include his actual baseball team practice. Like, what that would be, the correlation there is your nutrition, your hydration, your stretching routine, your sleeping routine. That's the equivalent there. He is understanding that those other things were needed in order to get better, just as much as you need to realize that a 45-minute workout twice to three times a week isn't going to get you that 10-year-old feeling again, or that high school, whatever it was. So keep that in mind as we talk and go over more of this stuff. So moving on to the next thing. So my wife had some questions as well, and I'm going to fit in two of those right now. So we got tracked down by one coach who really wanted Julian. There was another coach who had to step aside right as the season started because he was asked to be the JV coach at the high school. He's a great coach. I'm so happy we got to meet him as well. His name was Coach Rick. And Coach Rick let Tara and I, my wife and I, know during, geez, I think one of the last games of the season or maybe even one of the playoff games, that he did not want Julian. And although that, you know, that does not matter to us, like, that's totally okay because he is a coach and he knows other players, and he wanted a kid named Ethan. And Ethan actually turned out to be on Julian's team. So both coaches won here. And Ethan also was selected to be an all-star. So they both wanted these kids. They both, throughout the season, proved that they were good. And they both proved that they were all-stars. So they both won out. But he told us he didn't want him. And my wife, Tara, wants to know, Julian, how did you feel when we told you that? How did it make you feel? Did it make you feel anything at all? Or how did you feel once we told you that?
Really, it didn't, like, I didn't feel bad or anything. It just, you guys just told me that he didn't really want me. And it just kind of turned out, like, I know how coaches are sometimes. And when you want, like, Ethan is a great player. But then Coach Rick probably, you know, didn't remember me.
Well, he knew Ethan.
Yeah.
Right? So he's a little biased in that sense. And although you weren't a player for Coach Matt remembers you. And he remembered that you gave his team fits when you were on the mound. So so you're okay with it because Coach Rick had no idea who you were. And you didn't show really anything great or special the day of tryouts. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now... let's move down the line here. After that one, I want to ask you, how do you feel after this season, now that it's over, how do you feel about your first inclination of not wanting to pitch? When you were telling us, you even wrote on the card that you gave to Coach Matt that you may want to. How do you feel now after the season's over about choosing or having that idea that you didn't want to pitch? Were you wrong?
Yeah, I was just nervous about going on the mound. I haven't been on the mound in 2 years, and I honestly kind of didn't remember how to pitch until the day Coach Matt brought me over to the mound, and then I kind of just little by little started remembering finally, like, how to pitch.
Mm-hmm. And they changed a lot about your pitching this year.
Yeah.
And how did that, do you think it benefited you having those two as your coach and the things that they told you, like, were for the better?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I wouldn't probably have the pitching season that I had if they hadn't have taught me the things.
Mm-hmm.
But there was at one point where I was struggling a lot with the knee up instead of the step back.
Yeah.
And I wasn't throwing strikes a lot, and I was throwing more balls than normal. But they really wanted me to try it. And going back to at home, I pretty much at some point in time just started doing my knee up, and I started progressing more and more. And then finally, when I got the knee up down, then they told me another thing, to push off my leg. And still, to this day, they're still telling me to do it. But it's just something that I had to progress.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they probably didn't teach me the pitching things, I probably wouldn't have the pitching season that I would have.
Yeah, if they just kind of were like, oh, Julian can throw, so we'll just let him do his thing up there, then you probably wouldn't have progressed like you said. And so what he's saying is the coaches took his step back. So when you're on the mound, you might see a pitcher take a step back, bring a leg up, and then release, you know, throw the ball. Where they didn't want Julian to do that. They wanted him to do a straight knee drive up and then step towards the catcher while throwing the ball. And then they added in a push off of the mound to create some velocity, which he is saying that he still needs to work on. And again, correlating this to the gym, my son would come home from practice and while he's just standing around, he'll bring a knee up, he'll step forward and go through his motion. And it's just now kind of habit. I think sometimes he does it without even realizing he's doing it. And as little as that is, like, that's huge in the overall grand scheme of things. So while you're at home watching television and not stretching, and then you get up and you feel sore, what could you have been doing instead of just sitting there and watching television? Or, oh, I'm bored, let me go in my kitchen and see what I have to snack on. Could you be reading instead? While you read, it's hard to eat and read, I think. You know, those are the little things that I don't know how I didn't lose, you know, the 3 pounds I wanted to lose. I don't know how I'm not getting any more flexible or why I'm so achy. Oh, I haven't drank my water today. Those are the little things that add up to the monumental things. And his season this year was monumental. And when we look at the regular season, they lost one game. They lost one game, they played 2 games less than all these other teams, and they still had 9 more wins, I believe it was, than the next team had. All these other teams were like 8-7 or 9-6, and their team finished the regular season, I believe, 14-1. 15-1? Okay, 15-1. So playing two games less than all these other teams, and you still finish eight games ahead, and it's because of the little things that all these boys did. Julian is one little part of this larger thing, and that's what led you guys to being champs of the regular season. And these boys had four teams inside of their league this year, inside the majors of the Martinez Youth Baseball League. And let's talk a little bit about the games that led to the championship, which you guys had to win two playoff games, right? You played the lowest seeded Giants. And how was that game?
That game turned out to be one of the scariest games
of the season.
Yeah. Not trying to be too dramatic, but I had three heart attacks in the dugout. The game started pretty normal. Everything, you know, was pretty much, we were hitting the ball, everything was well. Until I think we scored like three runs in like the second. And then the Giants, I can't really remember it well, but I know that at one point they scored like a lot of runs to where we were down like 9-3.
Yeah. One kid hit an inside the park home run. I think that scored three. And I'll never forget, this kid hits the ball and he's celebrating already on his way to first. I'll never forget watching that kid do that. And he eventually scores, and then that put them up, like you said, like you said, 9-3 or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was bases loaded, inside the park, home run.
Yeah, grand slam. Yeah.
And when we finally get three outs, the score's still like 9-3, and it's like, I think it's the bottom of the fifth.
Because I'm gonna say it's 8-3 because I want to say the final score was 9-8. Maybe. So let's say 8-3. They're down by at least five runs.
Yeah.
And we're probably going into the fourth at this point.
No, like it's the bottom of the fifth, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, all right, so we're in the fifth inning.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And what my coaches were expecting from us was to hang our heads pretty much low going into the dugout, but none of us did that.
Yep.
And I'm very glad that we didn't do that because we came right back on top. We were down by like five, and we ended up with like nine or something.
You got, that was the one walk off.
Yeah.
And Owen hit it.
Yeah.
Nick scores the, I think the winning or tying.
The tying
and then,
run.
And then someone scored right behind him. Because Owen hit the ball.
Yeah.
To walk it off.
Maybe it was a tie game by then. Because I remember Owen hitting the ball to around right.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick was off. And Nick should have gotten a game ball because Nick was already rounding.
Yeah,
like
he was on it. He knew. He knew no one was going to catch it, and he knew he needed to score.
Yeah.
And like Julian said, these boys came into the dugout not like you said, heads were not hanging. I want to say Zach, who is Matt's coach Matt's son, comes in, and he's talking about, I'm getting on base.
Yeah.
I'm scoring. And I remember hearing that and thinking, these boys are going to make this happen. And sure enough, they walk it off. So that leads into a championship game against the Braves. And in that game, in dramatic fashion, what happens then? I already described this on a couple of podcasts ago, which I let you listen to, and some of the other parents on the team caught wind of it, let their kids listen to. But what do you remember about that championship game?
Well, the game was a little finicky. I remember being more nervous on the mound than ever. But no matter what, I did have one kid that hit a ground rule double off of me.
No, he hit the shit out of that ball.
Yeah.
So ground rule double, it bounced once and then went over the fence. And that means the kid gets to go to second.
Yeah. But just pitching, like, I was very nervous, and I'm surprised that I got a double play in that game and just being myself, even though that I was nervous.
Yeah.
And my at-bats, there was one at-bat that really didn't help the team out a lot. But
what's the at-bat that mattered most? Your last at-bat.
Yeah, it was
the last at-bat.
Yeah, the last at-bat of the regular season. So Aiden, who is a teammate of mine, he bats third. He gets a very bad called strike three. It is, like, at his neck. And so then, like, my, like, I think there was, like, one out.
That was the first out. Yeah. One kid was already on.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, my God. And so I grab my bat, and I'm, you know, just waiting for my name to be called. And, you know, I get up at the plate, and I take ball one that's low.
Ball one in the dirt, yeah.
Yeah. And then the next pitch, I'm like, all right, anything close. And I was expecting something kind of low and outside. And so, you know, he starts his movement, and I load back, and I just remember hips, hands, finish, and I see that ball all the way, and I just happen to hit a little blooper into the outfield. And I'm thinking that Owen's, you know, they're probably going to get it in time to where Owen's probably going to stop at third, and then Zach's probably going to, you know, get a hit. But I didn't realize until I reached first. As I reach first, the outfielder and the shortstop, they don't collide into each other, but the outfielder bobbles it to where the shortstop then has to run a little more, and by that time, Owen, who was on second, who was really fast, was at home plate, scored. I ran first, and my first base coach gives me a high five, and I just see everyone come out of the dugout.
Yep, walked it off.
And at that moment, I knew, like...
So bottom of the sixth, one out, yeah. Game's tied. Julian hits a blooper to right. And it's just enough to win a championship. And probably going to be something that we all remember for the rest of our lives and being able to tell around the dinner table for forever. And it was such a great feeling for you. You know, because like we were talking about at the kitchen table this morning, that me and mommy can't do any of this for you. As much as we, you know, as much as I want to bat for you and pitch for you and field for you, like we can't. And wanting it for you and then it actually happening and you doing it is really special to watch. So that is the firsthand recall of being up at the plate for a championship game. And so we end the regular season as champs, right?
Yeah.
So after being a champ in your city, what you then go on to is the Tournament of Champions. And what this is the other city's same age group champions, and it is a one and you're done type of tournament. So if you lose once, you're out. So your first game against Pinole Hercules with, yeah, how did that game go? That was a Julian versus Julian pitching duel, because Julian started and the pitcher for their team was also named Julian. And I remember, like, there was a very good pitching duel. Like, it was awesome to watch. A little bit of back and forth early on, but then they started pulling away. And then, what do you guys start thinking once that happens?
Can I just say how, like, the game started and everything? Can I just go over the game? All right.
Yeah.
The game started, it wasn't quite normal. Coach Matt wasn't there. He was on a business trip.
That's right, yep.
And so that means Coach Rick is now the head coach. And he's a little more strict on things, and he's more serious than Coach Matt. So we're doing warm-ups and everything, and we hit first. We're the away team, even though we're in Martinez.
Yeah, because it comes down to a coin flip with this stuff.
Yeah.
So they won the coin flip, and they decided they wanted to bat first.
Yeah. And
or last, excuse me, second. Sorry, go ahead.
And so it's kind of like All-Star rules. You can only bat 9 players, I guess, which...
Yep, so it changes a few things.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't bat 4th. I batted 7th.
7th, yep. Go ahead, you're good.
And...
So everything was just a little off.
Yeah, everything was off.
Different coach, different feel, different rules. Not everybody gets to bat like they usually do, so everything's just a little bit different.
Yeah. But I was starting pitcher for that game, and I was nervous for sure because I'm going up to, pitching to kids I've never pitched to before, and when I got on the mound, I think, the first batter is that kid, Julian. Hmm. And he hits a little blooper to left field to start off the game, pretty much. And I think I think two more kids hit, little bloopers. But then I think I strike out one kid for, the first out. And then my infield pretty much does the rest. And then when we go up to hit again... I think the fourth batter was up, but I can't remember who it was. And I think they strike out, or they get a hit or walk. And then I think the person in front of me, and I think the person in front of me gets hit, so then I'm up. And I can't remember my second at bat that much, but I think it's the at bat that I get hit by a pitch.
Yep, in the back, yep.
Yeah. So I take my base and everything. And then I think by when I get on base, we're down 3-0. With, I think, a person on...
So if we were to fast forward to the last inning.
Yeah.
Where their pitcher, we take you out somewhere in the fourth.
Yeah.
Then we're in the sixth. No, we're in the fifth. We're in the top of the fifth because you guys batted first.
Yeah.
And that is when you guys mount your comeback.
Yeah.
What was the score going into the fifth inning?
It was 6-0 or something like that.
I think it was maybe around. Yeah, I don't know. They're down.
Yeah, we're down.
They have 6 outs left to their name and batting. First in the top of the inning, they mount a comeback.
Yeah.
And they were able to tie because the other team brings in some pitchers, and they start walking kids, hitting kids.
Yeah.
And it's all downhill from there. And what I want to point out, and I want your point of view on this, because long story short, they win this game. They end up striking out the kids in the bottom of the sixth, and game's over. They end up winning. But you could see these other boys start losing their momentum, start losing their cool, start getting frustrated and mad at one another. And it is a world of difference between our boys coming in against the Braves saying, I'm getting on base, I'm scoring, and it's a total, 180 for this other team. They are falling apart. And did you, in real time, did you happen to notice that at all, or were you just in the game, in the moment?
Half of me was in the game, and half of me was, not in the game pretty much. I was just looking at every single player on Pinole, and the most frustrated or let down or whatever was the pitcher that came in.
Yeah.
And he was frustrated and he started walking kids and things weren't going his way.
Yeah.
Until I think there was bases loaded. I'm at third. Callan, I think we're at the top of the order now. And a teammate named Callan, bases loaded, gets a low and straight down the middle pitch, bombs it, to the outfield, and there's like two outs, and I'm thinking he's catching it, and I'm like waiting on my bag, and it drops, and I'm sprinting to home. And I'm telling everyone else to get in, and it goes like all the way to the fence pretty much.
That was the inside the park grand slam that he hit.
And he slides into third, and the ball pretty much gets away. The third baseman gets it, and the third baseman like throws it back to the pitcher, but the ball gets away and it is like past
first baseman. Past the first baseman, and that's go ahead.
Everyone is screaming, run, and Callen just sprints home.
And he's safe.
And that pretty much changed the game
The whole thing. Bases clearing, grand slam, inside the park. And so that, I believe you guys win 8-3, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But the lack of concentration from that third baseman, the defeat that you can see these boys starting to feel already, and then that was the breaking point. Like you said, that just broke them. So we come back, we win. It's 8-3. Yeah. That moves us on. We play Walnut Creek. And how did that game go?
Honestly, the Tournament of Champions was just fun for me. I didn't really care if we lost.
Icing on the cake is what Coach Matt kept saying.
Yeah. And we lost against Walnut Creek, but they were a good team. All of those boys could hit. And really, our bats wouldn't really wake up. And there are a lot of really good catches in the outfield. I think I only got like two at bats.
Yeah. Those boys could pitch. They could hit. They could play. Like they were great ball players, and I feel like they played way high, and you guys just couldn't get it going.
Yeah.
So you lose, and then the Tournament of Champions is done.
Yeah.
But our season isn't finished.
Oh.
That's right. There's more. Julian was chosen for an all-star to be on the all-star team.
Yeah.
And I want to first ask, do you know what that entails? I'm going to preface this. There's only four teams, right? And then you get X amount of kids chosen from each team, and they're all formed. And much like Tournament of Champions, you have your all-stars from each area, and they put them in districts. We happen to fall in a District 4. And you take these kids and you go play these other cities' all-stars. So what did you think about being chosen for on the All-Star team? Did you expect it, or were you surprised when you got asked?
I was surprised. I totally forgot about All-Stars. I was definitely surprised when Coach Matt told me that I'm an All-Star. And I was kind of speechless because, you know, the last time I was an all-star, my all-star team only got to play two games, and we lost both of those games horribly.
You boys got your butts whipped.
Yeah.
Okay, so shocked, surprised, you kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then, so being chosen for an all-star team, you have a two-game elimination tournament. Your guys' first game was against Pinole Hercules,
yeah.
which is formed with a lot of the boys that you guys had beaten just a few weeks before, had to come back, and then so you did not start this game.
No.
So starting out, what was the score after the first inning? What was the score? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 9-1.
9-1, and who was winning?
Pinole. coming into the bottom of the first, we needed like hits, and this pitcher wasn't hard to hit off of. But I am nervous my first at bat.
So he was brought in with two outs left.
Yeah.
In the these boys hit last, the other team, and so they're home, we're away. Julian came in with one out left to get in the first inning, and bases were loaded. And we get out of there. The score is 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, how many at-bats did you have? You had four at-bats that game. and you got three hits.
Yeah.
Right? So being down 9-1, and the second inning, you guys scored some runs. I think it was maybe 9-3.
Yeah.
And then it became like 9-6.
Yeah.
And then you guys just kept going.
Yeah.
And this was a long game. We didn't get home at this particular game that night. We didn't get home until like 10 o'clock. And yeah, it was a long day. But these boys fought back to be down 9-1. Julian comes in to start pitching. And this is where some bragging comes in, because Julian does not give up a single run. He gives up hits, but not a single run until maybe towards the end of the game. And then he's taken out one out short of the game being over. And then what happens?
And so...
So this is the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah.
It is maybe 9-10.
No, it's 10.
I'm sorry,
10.
It's
10-14.
10-14. And well, when you left the game, you were up by 5. So yes, so he gives up a run. It's 10-14. So they take him out with one out left to go in the game.
Yeah, and for sure, I was definitely mad and sad that they took me out. But you know, they brought in Callen, and Callen's
a closer.
Yeah,
he's a very good pitcher, and he's a closer.
Yeah. So taking me out, I was sad and stuff. But Callen, I think he either walks someone. I think he walks a couple people.
So Callen just couldn't find the strike zone.
No.
And it happens. So, yeah. You know, totally normal. It happens to every single kid, you know, at least once, if not, you know, a couple times a year. Callen's usually lights out.
Yeah.
So we think, well, we got one out. Let's bring in Callen. He's probably going to throw maybe 6 pitches, may give up a run or two, but we're good because we have 5 left. Yeah. And he didn't. He couldn't find the strike zone.
No.
Tell me who made the last out?
I didn't. It was, so Callen throws a pitch, and it's to a right-handed batter, I'm pretty sure. And he hits it off the end of the bat, and there's bases loaded at this point. And it's like...
And they are up by 1.
Yeah, and we're
so we went from 14-9 to 14-13 real quick.
Yeah, and it's hit off of the bat, and there's a grass area.
It has a grass infield.
Yeah, and so it's like a slow roller, but the kid on first runs, and it looks like it's going to hit him, but it barely misses him. And I'm thinking like, oh God, I'm probably going to mess this up. But instead, it goes straight into my glove, and I kind of like... I sprint, like, to first, even though that's not that far. And the kid's probably, like, a good, like, 10 feet away before making it to the bag. And then, as I'm, like, a foot away, I kind of just start, like, celebrating, like, yeah, like, we did it.
This is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you make the last out, and they end up winning that game.
Yeah.
So, I won't bore you with the details of the other two games, because they get blanked 10-0, and then... They lost by a good margin yesterday as well. But to be the first team in, I think, 5 to 7 years,
7 years to win an
All-Star game from Martinez is a huge feat. And it's only like the testament to these boys and the coaching staff. And a lot of these kids, you know, are 11 years old going to 12. And they have another year in majors. And so keeping these boys together, you know, and building something for the Martinez All-Stars perspective is huge. It means the future is bright, and, you know, the sky's the limit going into next year, which is going to bring me to my next talking points. And I promise you guys, we're almost done here. Now that it is over, I'm going to ask you these three questions. What did you learn that you think that you could use off of the field?
Like
from baseball. Like what did you learn this season? What did you take away from any game that you can probably utilize in real life? Like everyday life.
Never say that anything's over.
So like never give up. Yeah, like never have a no quit attitude.
Yeah. Like okay. Never think that nothing's over.
Okay. Good. You hear that, motherfuckers? Keep that in mind. Now here's a very important one. What do you need to improve on? Baseball specifically. What baseball. Do you need to improve on? And I'm asking him to be critical of himself now. Think about that. I'm asking an 11-year-old to be critical of himself. He already told us this stuff kind of last night. So just repeat kind of what we talked about last night.
My speed, pretty much. You know, I would like to reach first base more on like a ground ball to like third or something like that. Being quicker with my bat to a kid that's throwing faster. Mm-hmm.
You said last night throwing harder while you're pitching?
Yeah, throwing harder.
So Julian throws strikes, but he wants to throw harder strikes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I think the other one was fielding a little better.
Fielding, playing like first base pretty much. I would like to get better playing first base because I am, you know, a little sketchy and nervous when, you know, a
kind of ball, undecisive.
Yeah.
Having some more confidence while you're up there.
Yeah.
And just like you said, being a better first baseman is going to help with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you need to improve on? Do you think someone is just good at something or do you think they need to work hard at the thing?
I'm just going to take myself as an example. Okay. If I didn't work as hard in practices, if I didn't listen, if I didn't try my hardest in games or in practices or whatever, I probably wouldn't be...
You wouldn't have progressed as much as you did.
No.
So you think the hard work goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So when someone tells you, hey, you're really good at baseball, your answer then should always be, that's because I work really hard at it, yeah. Right? And you understand that. Like, to be a good reader, what do you have to do?
To
read.
Read, yeah.
Right? If you want to write better, you need to write. Right? So perfect. I'm glad you understand that. What is your favorite memory from this season?
Favorite memory would have to be the walk-off championship.
Your hit?
Yeah. I do have a couple, but that's probably
give me,
my
give
top.
Me one more.
One more? It would probably either be the big strikeout in that first game against Pinole, whichever one that was, and ending the first ever game of the regular season against the Nationals with that kid looking at strike three that was right straight three. Down the middle.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, so that is all the questions I'm going to ask as far as that's concerned. So now we're going to wrap it up with a couple questions. First one, were you bothered at all by my yelling this season?
Sometimes when you're yelling specifically at
you,
me,
yeah. But I do that. So there were certain times, especially yesterday, where there were a few hiccups where, like he said, he wants to get better at first base. Julian can sometimes, it looks kind of spacey as far as what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? Or he watches the game, and every kid does this. But with Julian, the coaching staff may or may not see it, so I have to make sure that I point it out. Because if I don't point it out, then he doesn't know what he's doing or not doing, and I feel that then it's my responsibility to ensure for the team's benefit that you know exactly what you should have been doing. But I'm glad it was only the more... Because I, of course, I am just yelling at everything and everyone. But mostly encouragement. I did my best to not throw any negativity out there because it's hard to see, especially some of these coaches, tell a kid, like our youngest son, Aiden's coach, that guy fucking sucks. And he would only tell the kids, every kid, what they were doing wrong. And instead of telling a kid what they're doing wrong, he needed to tell them what they were doing wrong and then how to fix it. He never brought that second point up. And that's why I say he sucks. He might be a great guy, but I don't care to know him. So trying my best not to reflect that and give the positivity more than negativity, which I feel like this season I did better than any season in the past. Okay, before I have you talk a little bit about Blitzball and give the details and close it out, what is, in your mind, the hardest part about being my son?
The hardest part?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything right now.
No?
Do
I make anything difficult that you think is unfair? Because that would probably be the thing, the answer.
Sometimes I do get, like, when you ask me to drink water or whatever,
yeah,
whatever that is, I kind of just, like, ugh, I don't really want to drink water right now.
Yeah.
But that's because, you know, you want me to stay hydrated and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little things like that when, yeah, I nitpick at you. And
yeah. Okay. And asking me to do, like, you should do, like, a workout. I always, like, think of it, but then I'm like, I don't really want to do it.
You'd rather not.
No.
Okay, that's a good, that's a good leading point into me going into the Blitzball thing. So when I tell you to, maybe we should go do a workout, or, hey, do you want to do a workout? When you choose not to, we were talking about this morning, how you have to earn new glove, right? So when it comes down to it, and this correlates to the gym too, so when you guys are sitting on your couch looking at the app, hey, do I want to sign up for this class? Julian thinking, should I go and maybe row some intervals or do something out in the garage? Does it get you closer to your baseball glove? Does it get it closer to your weight loss? If the answer is no, then, like, if I choose to not do it, does it get me there? If the answer is no, like, we have to think about that, right? Because we want it. If we want something, then the answer needs to be yes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, bud. Tell us about your Blitzball. Just give us the details. If someone wants to come play, what is the date that where? When are we playing?
July 4th.
What time?
At 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. We're barbecuing, and we'll have some hot dogs and hamburgers. At where are we going to be playing?
Morello Park Elementary.
Morello Park Elementary.
We might have two games going on.
Yeah, depending on how many people are coming. If you do intend to come, if you're listening to this, you've gotten this far, we're 48 minutes in. If you have gotten this far and you are going to be coming to the Blitzball and you have not told us that you will be there, please send us a message. You can message me direct or find Martinez Blitzball League on Instagram as well as Facebook. We have a page. Send us a message. Anyone can play, but just know that there are going to be some kids that actually can throw the damn ball, can hit the ball. So although it is fun, you're going to have a little bit of skill if you want to fully participate, I'll say. But again, we want to make something that's inclusive for everyone. And if there is a group that maybe is a little less, I won't say competitive, because again, we're not trying to make it that, but a little less skilled or younger or haven't played in a long time, we might have two games going, which one of those will probably fit your needs better than the other. So 1 p.m., Monday, July 4th, Morello Park Elementary. You can come. We'll be down there around noontime with hamburgers, hot dogs, feed you before, get team situated, and game time starts at 1. And Blitzball, really, it's a ball that you can throw, and it has a little bit of maneuvering to it, but we also have an option of just a regular throw. Again, so everybody can be included in that,
yeah,
right? And that's the goal, right, buddy?
Yeah.
And what is your ultimate goal of Blitzball? Like, we talked about having, like, a game a week.
Yeah.
And then later on, maybe a whole league as far as teams and coaches and or managers.
Yeah, I was kind of just thinking of this yesterday, that if this is, like, something that's, like, really big on, you know, this coming July 4th, We're thinking of doing a blitzball game every Sunday. And if people are still into that and they really want to do this league, that's where we have brackets and we have actual teams, then we'll do that. But if, you know, a lot of people show up and they really like it, then I think that
we'll
this
move
could
forward.
Be something, you know,
pretty big and pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's what we want. All right, buddy. Is there anything else you would like to say?
No.
No? That's it?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much for hanging out with us, recapping this baseball season. It was great. It was awesome. We're very proud of our son and the boys that he got to know, the families that we got to get close to. Friendships, I believe, were made for many years to come. And that's it, guys. So get after it, and we'll see you in the gym.